Lee Morgan on trumpet and Joe Henderson on tenor sax, opening up The Sidewinder, a tune written by Morgan that would become the title track of his 1963 album. Also featuring Barry Harris on piano, Bob Cranshaw on bass, and Billy Higgins on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's another day in paradise. You know that isn't true. It's not another day in paradise. I'm being facetious. But in a way, you have to depend on your best sense of humor in these times, because things are so crazy that you just can't imagine that this is where we are as a nation, and people are regarding it as perfectly normal. And if you're upset, it is you who are abnormal. You know, we who say, this shouldn't be happening. This is not the way we run a country. These are not the things that a president does or says or directs to happen. But it is now the norm. And people like us who say, well, wait a minute, that's not right, that's not democratic, that doesn't pass a smell test, we are the ones looked upon as being really out of it. We're out of touch. We're still stuck in that kumbaya world. But we'll talk today, because I don't want too many things piling up so that on Friday it's a traffic jam and people don't get enough room to say what they have to say. So we'll do a mid-pause here and talk about some very important things. On top of the list is the inclination or the evidence increasing that Gina Haspel is going to be appointed CIA director. The preliminary vote has been taken, and she seems to have come through that pretty well, and that is from the Intelligence Committee. Then they voted, and then it must go now to the Senate as a whole, and it votes. But already we're getting indications, as we did all through her week-long probe, or week-long questioning by the Senate Intelligence Committee, about all kinds of things that happened at the CIA while she was there. Now, she's had a 30-plus year stretch of experience at the Central Intelligence Agency. She is supposed to be widely respected and highly respected for her capacity, except we don't know what it was. We don't know what she did, because it was not discussed. The committee did not have the advantage of declassified information on which to base their questioning of her. You know, the predictable explanation kept coming up time and again, that much of the information that they were seeking was really off limits, super, super secret, and it would compromise both the agency and Ms. Haspel if these things were to be known or publicly discussed. So she started off with a protective shield around her. And she is, when you look at her, she is the kind of person you can see the body politic accepting, both Democrats and Republicans in Congress, accepting as the kind of person they want leading the CIA. She's very calm, and she's quietly resolute in what she believes. Among those things she believes is that she will not do anything contrary to her own sense of morality and her own sense of what is right and what is wrong. Right there we have a problem, don't we? Because we have no idea what this woman has been doing for 30 plus years. But we do know that she did oversee a secret torture prison in Thailand and had no problem with it, which included waterboarding. And waterboarding is they take a prisoner and put a piece of cloth of some sort over the person's face and pour water on it, and it simulates drowning. And it gets people to give up all kinds of information, true and false. And it was supposed to be a great technique. It just so happens to be against international law and U.S. law. But, of course, these things were happening off-site, outside of the United States, in countries where people would look away when these charges would arise. And she was one of the people who managed the waterboarding program and the torture program in Thailand, for which, of course, she is highly respected within the intelligence community. All of this to say, I don't know what is happening in Congress. I really don't know why this president has gotten away and continues to get away with unprecedented breach of law. And his whole cabinet and people close to him seem to mimic that mentality. I can get away with anything. And it is very scary when even people who we used to think were steadfast, and some would use the word patriotic, some would use the word very professional in what they do, they are recruited into this, I don't know what to call it. It's a society of very disturbed people who are now the core of the people running the country. I shared with you 2 days ago a speech by former mayor of the city of New York, Michael Bloomberg, talking about a total lack of honor. Now, this doesn't mean that he's exempt from it, but he was making a point. And he was making a point that because these lax approaches to governing were permitted and condoned, the country systematically has gone lower and deeper into a kind of morass that doesn't reflect at all the values Americans typically had held. You know, respect for the truth. I mean, you're in the highest office of the country. We know you're not going to tell the truth 100% of the time, but to be so blatantly offensive about it and to continue to do it all of the time, the nepotism and cronyism, we have not seen these things in many, many decades. A vampiric attitude, for the most part, among the people who were supposed to be leading. They're there mostly for self-gratification and the strategic opportunities that they can use to, you know, create bigger fortunes for themselves. It's a stick-up. It's a stick-up. It's a kleptocracy. Everybody's out for number one. Number one is them. And they're looking to make the largest amount of money they've ever made in their lives by the time they are either kicked out or they resign. And it's a troublesome thing to see how well adjusted to this climate that we're operating in as a nation, how well adjusted these folks are to all kinds of wrongdoing. The people, on the other hand, are held to a whole different standard. You have to obey the law. You will not be permitted to break the law. This is a nation, we're told time and again by Donald Trump, this is a nation of laws. You wouldn't think that if you examined his behavior and that of practically every single member of his cabinet. And Gina Haspo is an example of that. Now, of course, I don't know the lady. I have no knowledge, personal knowledge of her. I'm going by what is reported in the newspapers or news agencies of record. But they, the news agencies, are making a big effort here to talk about how capable she is, to constantly quote people attesting to her professionalism and her integrity. This is the CIA, hello? I mean, how far could your integrity and your professionalism, you know, and your good deeds go when you are working for the CIA, which is not about maintaining integrity? It is about getting a job done by every means necessary, breaking the law and justifying it. At no time in her career, so far as we know, did she object to the job that she had and so enthusiastically performed. So I don't pay attention to people quoting, you know, the Constitution and God and country and all of that. This is a renegade organization, a renegade administration that is making up its own rules. And they even went so far as to try and sell Gina Haspel as a a boon to the country. She would be the first woman, if approved in the general vote, to have the job. Well, we know what the CIA does, so I'm not so sure that that is a feather in anybody's cap. But Democrats, the people who you would think would at least raise some kind of a fuss and say, this is not the candidate that we would want to head up an agency. We would want somebody with a fresh approach. We would want somebody who does not break the law, domestic and international. We would want somebody who can tell us, create a different vision for the agency, other than the cloak and dagger stuff that they regularly do. What can the CIA be or become that would represent an entirely different approach to security of the nation, working in partnership with other countries in the world, moving away from these clandestine operations which are a disgrace and supreme violations of human rights? What is the vision? What is the new vision for the CIA under Ms. Haspel? We don't know. We don't know what she used to do. So we don't know what she will continue to do, although she has pledged that she will no longer support waterboarding. Well, that's nice to hear. But I'm interested in hearing from this administration and from the prospective CIA director, what will be the different approach of the CIA? The Democrats actually are voting for her, with only a few exceptions. But they're falling in line. So you see, we're getting mixed messages all over the place about people having negotiable honor, negotiable honesty, negotiable character. And here is yet another example. Which means that once again, we have to ask ourselves, why do we continue to participate in our own oppression and in our own disrespect? When it is so clear, even as a matter of principle, the Democratic Party should take a position that not only is Gina Haspel, she might be a very fine person and so forth, but we need to get out of this darkness. And we need somebody who can help us do that as a nation and take on an entirely different perspective on how we operate as a nation in the world community of nations. That's inspired leadership. We've lost inspiration a long time ago. That's not what we're after. We want to legitimize a terror squad. We want to pretend the CIA is not doing the things we have been told it's been doing all over the world. It retains its essential character. We don't know who controls it. We don't know what the processes are. And we don't know in whose interests a lot of decisions are made. Certainly it's not for the country. What do we know exactly of the operations of the CIA? And I'm not being naive. I know it's a secret organization. I get that. Even so, we should know about its functions. We should know about its campaigns in the past, the campaigns it continues in the name of national security. We should know from some source monitoring the CIA and other intelligence agencies, monitoring the intelligence community as a whole. What the heck do we have here? Is this a government within a government? What are they doing? And on a daily basis, how does what they're doing make life very tenuous for all of us? Nobody asked us whether we approved of waterboarding. It's not our concern. That is the thinking. We are the CIA. We do what we have to do to safeguard the country. Is it time to revisit and to, well, actually to visit, not revisit, we haven't done it. Is it time to really look a little bit deeper here about the functions of certain aspects of our government that if we know it, if it is discovered, we would be up in arms. We don't want our government to behave like this. We saw this, an example of this, just 2 days ago, where under the instructions of a government that swears it is a legitimate government, firmly rooted in deep historical and religious traditions, they were perfectly fine just blowing away people peacefully. I mean, it was an agitated protest, but you could understand that. But it certainly was one in which they were not armed. Just mowing them down for the world to see and still defending it. Children, murdering children, are branches of our government doing the same thing? Do we want that? And shouldn't we have by now some modicum of faith in the Democratic Party to say, nope, this is, quote, to use their favorite term, this is un-American, and we really need to get to the bottom of this. What is the CIA doing on any given day? Well, so we'll talk today about your feelings about the past couple of days. And this would lift the logjam on Friday, because more and more people want to get on, and we just don't have the room to do so. And this has been a particularly tumultuous week that should raise in our consciousness a whole bunch of questions about what it means to be a citizen, what it means to be an activist, what it means simply to be sincere, what it means to want the government to be thought of as functioning above board and being honest enough. I'm not asking for 100% honesty. We know we're not going to get that. But to be direct about things that are important. So I'll take this little break and come back to you after it at 888-874-4880. 888 right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Yatrice Lead, and we're doing a midweek assessment here, just trying to wrap our minds around what it is we have witnessed so far this week and how it does or does not conform to our idea of democracy being a compact between the governed and those who govern, but also talking about standards, talking about ethics, talking about what people would consider as being high-minded and increasingly unnecessarily high-minded. We shouldn't be bothered about waterboarding. We shouldn't be bothered about the conduct of government, the atrocious things that government does in, quote, defense of democracy, unquote. That is to say, in defense of our notion of democracy. And we are seeing as well that the party, the Democratic Party, that used to be far more vocal about these kinds of atrocious things that the government routinely does, that they would speak up about it. But they're being quite, you know, accepting of it. You'll get a criticism here and a criticism there, but for the most part, it seems like they're okay with it. They're okay with government behaving this way. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear from you and what you're thinking on the question today. I believe that if we don't make it a point to register our concerns, we'll just continue as if it never happened. You know, and we become the misfits. We become the wackos, the high-minded, idealistic people, when in fact what we're doing or attempting to do is to scream for the attention of the people, to let them know, to alert them that we're in bad shape. This compact between the people and the government is just not working. Not working as it ought to. And our government increasingly is acting like a renegade operation, doing whatever it is it wants to do. Hopefully, we might find out. And if not, well, that's our tough luck. Jeff from New Jersey, are you on?
Yeah, how are you?
Okay.
All right, well, I will say that at this point in time, we are in a spiritual quandary, both by the numbers of the year and the time. And we have to realize as a nation, number one, our government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. Supposed to be. And it is our responsibility to take it back, because the folks that are acting on our behalf, millionaires, billionaires, business leaders, and professional politicians. They have no stake at all in everyday life. They don't even know what everyday life is like. So when they go off and they bomb other countries, it is our money and our children that are going over there having to die, to kill, and to bomb. Now, it's going to come back on us because this is, as I said, we have spiritual choices to make here. Are we going to participate in this or not? And what are we going to do about it? We need to fight about it. It's very tough because they control the media, which is not really telling the truth, showing the real pictures. We have a phenomenal amount of distractions. Even the attacks on our own people here in America. You know, those police officers shooting people on videotape is not by accident. You know, that is to make people afraid, also to create epigenetic, stresses in the bodies, raise blood pressures, get people sick, make people want to turn off the news, not want to listen to the news. You know, therefore, we're not getting any information to go out and be upset about. You know, it's just a matter of pacifying. We're attacking the union workers in our country, the police officers, the teachers, the firemen, saying that we cannot give them their pensions. We cannot, sustain this. Even TV shows that go against, there's a show on one of the stations that show teachers in a light that they're just a bunch of idiots. You know, they have no filter amongst 5-year-old children that they're saying things about their period and their sex life and all this other stuff. And, you know, so we're under attack here. And but we have to thank God for PRN. Thank God for you and people like Gary Noll and Connect the Dots and all these other things. Because, there is the information, but again.
But in the meantime, I appreciate the overarching presentation that you just concluded. But what, therefore, is our charge? I don't think you addressed that. What is our charge in the middle of all of this? What are we supposed to be doing?
Our charge right now, I want to say we don't need to pay attention to what's going on now, but to prepare for the upcoming elections to take care of our government back. And if it requires a day where there's national protest, that we all walk out our jobs, that we do not show up for work, or that we strike, or that we clog up the highways, then that's what we have to do. And we have to call on religious leaders to do what's right. If your religious leader's not doing what's right, you get them out of the church. You know what I mean? If your political leaders are not doing what's right on the local level, we start there. Start kicking them out. First thing is like a thing with in New York. You talked about last week, and thank you for opening this up for Friday because I missed last Friday waiting online. But the fact that 4 white women could get the attorney general or what is in the state of New York out by a simple mentioning that this is what he did. Not as like you said, there's no case against him. There's no charges. There's nothing. And the officer that choked the man with an illegal chokehold on camera is still working and has an increase in salary is something that, no one should, no black person, no person who cares about this case should spend a dime in Staten Island. If that's where that officer works until he is fired, no one should spend a dime in that place. The same thing goes with Ferguson, Missouri. Do not spend any money in the town, unless it's a black-owned business, but do not spend any money in those towns, in those cities. And you have to shoot.
Well, you've gotten us started. You've gotten us started, and I thank you for contributing some ideas. Let's build on them. and see where people take it. Thank you so much for calling in, Jeff. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
You know, I just listened to the last caller, and I want to know when the government of the United States would run in the interests of the people. I don't know about that. This was never a government that it was formed for the interests of the masses of people here. Where did we get this notion of a government that is for the people that live here? This was a government that was formed by a small ruling class, and it's been working that way since the day one. This is one that at this time is run by oligarchs and plutocrats, people at the top, and we have to get it out of our head that the answer is going to the polls and voting for one of these parties in the duopoly, Republican and Democrat, and that'll solve the problem. All those people that are in those parties are basically controlled by those who rule from the top, the oligarchs and their assistants, and they select the people who are going to run essentially, and they let you think you have some kind of democracy by letting you go and vote for every 2 or 3 or 4 years for a choice that they have selected. I mean, let's get it through our head. We don't run anything. This is run in the interests of those who rule, those who run the corporations, and the rich and powerful. Everything is done for the benefit of the rich and powerful and those at the very top, not for the interests of the people who live here. So we got to bring
so
people
are you out. Saying, so are you saying, David, that we have very few options? What, therefore,
no, we have
are
some
our options?
I'm going to give you some options. One of the things that we can do, it won't be just going to the polls. It'll be doing things like boycotts. We spend a lot of money, and that money goes into the pockets of the ruling class. We got to select those corporations that get a lot of that money and bear down on them, maybe starting off with one or two with massive boycotts, you know, maybe a auto company and not buying their cars anymore. Maybe some other company that does a fantastic amount of business and makes a lot of profit, like Walmart or Amazon or whatever. We got to do things other than just thinking that we can go to the polls and pull a lever every once in a while those at the top laugh at us because they're the ones who selected the ones who are going to run. You know, so the point, and they're in the pockets of the people at the top. The people in Congress, why do we think they work for the interests of common people? They don't work for the interests of the corporations and the people who are rich and powerful. We have a system where the masses of the people at the top, the corporations and the rich and powerful, on welfare. We don't even understand that. They're getting all kinds of subsidies and benefits, corporations, all things like infrastructure development, training for their workers, all kinds of things, welfare programs for the rich and powerful in the corporation, and most of us don't know anything about it. We're worried about the Cadillac mother who's coming to pick up a welfare check. They divide you and conquer you. We got to stop this stuff about the Russians going in and interfering with the elections. If we want to do an investigation of countries interfering in elections, why don't we investigate places like Israel? You know, so, you know, we are easily diverted from giving attention to the things that need to be done. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about this democracy stuff. There's no democracy here. A democracy would be a government that was functioning for the benefit of people. How is it going to be functioning for the benefit of people when at least half the people in the country are poor? You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. Why do we think that's a democracy when the government does not function to benefit the people that are here? Maintain an economic system that doesn't work for most of the people. People are poor and near poor. And then you have, you know, a professional class that assists the people at the top and whatnot. You know, this is ridiculous. And it's very clear that the people here are suffering. And they're taking it out with drugs and alcohol and things like that. And then they criminalize you for using things to kind of soothe your pain, as that's what they do. And they have other ways of the usual technique called divide and conquer. People don't get it. You know, people of all colors. And,
do you see any indication? Do you get a hint anywhere of something close to what you're talking about actually happening right now?
Well, in this country, we don't have anything like the boycott, the vents, and sanction like the Palestinians. We need to do something like that right here. But we need to work a lot harder on it, because we don't understand the enemy. The people here, that live here, the masses of the people, don't understand who their real enemy is. I mean, it's laughable for people to vote for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, and they are supported by the ruling class. They are taking in tons of money from the corporations and rich people, and some poor person thinks that those people are going to represent your interests. And they do everything they can to divert your attention away from the real issue, which is you have an economic system that does not work for the interests of the people, the mass of the people, and is definitely in the hands of the oligarchs and their assistant at the very top. You know, so people need to wake up and drop all this stupid stuff that the ruling class uses divide and conquer, like their white supremacy, racism, and all the rest of the stupid things they do about the point you to immigrants and gay people and all the religious nonsense that they talk about. You know, we got to wake up. People are asleep with their eyes wide open. That's what's going on. People are asleep with their eyes wide open, and they don't get it, and they don't understand who the real enemy is.
Well, thank you. Thank you for putting those points forward for our consideration. From Orlando, Tony, you're on the air.
Hi, Atrice. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in. What are your thoughts on the question?
I want to just thank David from Brooklyn for that last comment he made. Basically, that's it right there. And not only that, the previous caller. This all comes down to funding, because by you spending money the way they want you to spend money, you're funding all of this corruption, okay? Gun violence, all of that. Boycotts. I know people, especially, you know, people don't like to advocate for boycotts for whatever reason they might be, but I'm big time on that. And boycotting doesn't necessarily mean boycotting a specific business. Boycotting could be a lifestyle. You know, stop focusing on having to get your kids the latest Air Jordans for Christmas, clothes, phones, cell phones, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. You know, consuming all this garbage that they advertise in front of your face 24/7, okay, and have a change of lifestyle. That's what I do in my personal life. I'm not focused on the latest and greatest, having to go to the a restaurant, eat out every single night, you know, or even once a week. I mean, if we eat out of my house once a month, that's a lot, you know. It's all those little things like that. It's a change of lifestyle, because that's how they keep you down. That's how they keep you broke. And that's how they keep you preoccupied with the latest movie that came out. And you got to spend all your money like that. I love how you illustrated about that Black Panther movie. I want to know how much of those dollars went to helping some of these kids in the inner cities that need it. You know, in the crumbling school system that we have in this country. You know, but it starts with us at home, because like David said, you know, we don't run this country. And like the previous, you know, I agree with David what he said about where did the previous caller get this idea that it's for the people, by the people. That wasn't for us. That was for a specific group of people, not me. You know what I mean? And basically, David, I mean, he's got a down pat. But I also I love the fact that he actually said boycott, because that's where it comes down to. It comes down to funding the corruption. And I'm sorry, I rambled on, but you know, sometimes I get a little passionate about stuff.
Well, that's great. It means that you're alive and you're breathing and you're thinking. So that's good, a good sign. Thank you so much, though, for contributing today, and particularly for feeding off of the information that David presented. This is the whole point, that we kind of try to relate to each other and create some kind of dialogue, some kind of contact, intellectual contact. Thank you so much for calling in today. Randolph from Montreal, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrice.
Hello.
I realize there's 17 agencies. I wonder why they require 17 spy agencies. But there is hope for the things that are going on. 109 of the top military people, admirals and generals, are against this torture. But people just don't realize that it could happen to them. So what is the solution? The solution is nonviolence. The solution is absolutely essential that people can actually vote candidates other than the two-party system. It is absolutely essential, and because that is the basic checks and balances against all these disastrous things that are going on in the world. I have to admire, of the 83 nations that the Israelis invited to the ceremony, only 33 attended. So the world is not evil. There are courageous people around. If I had been in that demonstration of the Palestinians, I would have not done what it did. I would have carried black flags. I would have had funeral music. And I would have asked people to wear black armbands for this ceremony. I noticed when protesters were in other parts, of Israeli protesters, they used unarmed police and military dressed in their dress uniforms to handle the protesters. So they didn't use snipers. They didn't use gas, chemicals. It's a big difference. So people, they've got, it is absolutely essential that people get involved in this political process, because I believe, in all honesty, the underworld has run the political process. They were the ones with all the money from the bootlegging and crime, and they were the ones that supported and appointed those who were running in the elections. Okay, that is all I have to say.
Well, thank you. I want to ask you one question before you go, and that is, when you say people should, you know, project a nonviolent profile to the state that intends to do violence. I mean, it was so clear. The state intended to commit mass murder that day. Whether they had armbands or didn't have armbands, the intention was to inflict maximum damage, to say to the regional population, but to say to the world, look, we're done negotiating. We have no reason to engage in any kind of discussions about where things should go. We are prepared to kill you. You oppose us, we'll just kill you. And whether you like it or not, if you get on the side of those people to advocate for them, unkilled as well. That was the intended message. Would you say that it was successfully communicated?
That's a very good question. But what I was talking about is that the Palestinians should have done this nonviolently. But if the situation is as...
But they did do it nonviolently. Did not have weapons. They were visibly unarmed, and that's exactly...
Well, the only thing you can do is what the Viet Cong did.
Massacre, kill them.
No, what the Viet Cong did is they hit and ran. Hit and run. They couldn't find them. But it has to be a way to we look at those people that they're not, even the Israelis, they're not all killers, they're not all violent. They have to be made to people who are going to be soldiers. People say, look, I'm not going to do this. 68 students sent a letter to the Prime Minister of Israel. Sir, we're not going to join your army. We're not going to murder these Palestinians as you wanted to order us to do. And it goes through all of society. There are many Israelis that refuse and refuse to do what they're ordered to do. Yet there are the few.
Yes, I remind folks all the time that there is strong resistance to the Netanyahu regime in Israel, and there always has been. We don't see it, we don't hear it being reported much, but we know that is the case. There's great resistance. So I wanted to make that point. We cannot believe that this is a monolithic society. There are many people who are exceedingly against this murderous regime. They don't see that it would produce any good for anyone. And they have, in the case, for example, of Niko Peled, the son of one of the founding generals of Israel, his entire life has been devoted to opposing the state of Israel on the way it is, it conducts itself with especially the Palestinians. But I appreciate your points. I think you put a lot on the table for us to consider. And I thank you so much for contributing today.
Thank you. You're very welcome, Utrecht. Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to the end of the program. And the answers are not all here. Some answers are here. But enough is offered for us to rethink things. It is not impossible to turn the Trump administration around. But we first have to summon up the courage in ourselves to ask ourselves, you know, what do we stand for? What are we willing to do? Do we let this government become more and more outrageous in its conduct until the point where there's no return? It's just flat out war against the people and between the people and the government. This is where we're headed. Anybody taking a look, even a cursory look, you can see how fast things are deteriorating. And it means we have to ask ourselves some very serious questions and then get moving on something. I don't care what the project is, but find something that you can involve yourself in and, you know, go at it with the idea that you are putting an end to this kind of undemocratic rule, this lopsided arrangement that we have between the governed and the governors, the people who are elected to govern. So thank you so much for your thoughts and ideas today. Great. I always appreciate it. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Global Alert News. And keep it right here. We'll meet each other again tomorrow and talk some more. Thanks for listening.